In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In Acts chapter 15, the fledgling church struggled with the question, who is Jesus? Some said that circumcision and obedience to the law of Moses was necessary for salvation. But if that were true, then it really does not matter if Jesus is God or not. He could not build his church on the forgiveness of sins. But he would be no different than Jeremiah or Elijah or any other prophet. He would not be the Savior. If circumcision and obedience to the law of Moses were necessary for salvation, then Jesus would be yet another prophet who directed the hearts of Israel back to the temple, back to Sinai, back to the sacrifices, back to Aaron's priesthood, back to circumcision and works of the law. But if Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, if he is the Savior sent by God to fulfill the promises given to the patriarchs, then he can build his church on the forgiveness of sins and give life and salvation to both Jew and Gentile. The Roman Catholic Church says that the church is built upon St. Peter himself. Protestants, most of them, will say that Peter and the minister are completely irrelevant. There is a connection between Peter and the rock. For through Peter's preaching, through the minister's preaching, Jesus is revealed to the world. Peter is not that rock, Jesus is. Peter is not even the one who builds the church, Jesus is. St. Paul says it this way, I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the growth. There are Christians in the world not because of St. Peter, St. Paul, or any other pastor, but because of Christ and Christ alone. The church belongs to him, and not to any pastor, not to any bishop, not to any other apostle. The church belongs to Christ and is prepared as a bride for him, not for any man. So Jesus does not entrust his authority to Peter. But Peter and all apostles are servants of the mysteries of God, stewards of the gifts God gives. Christ remains the rock. And the church is built upon that rock by forgiveness. After Peter made his confession, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus doesn't tell Peter and the apostles to now go into the world and circumcise all and command all to obey the law of Moses. Instead, he says, forgive and withhold forgiveness. Jesus is the rock who is unique and different from every other prophet and preacher who had ever come, because only he can give a forgiveness that takes away sin. Only he has sealed that forgiveness in his own blood. The church is built upon Christ because he is the eternal Son of God who wins forgiveness. And that preaching of forgiveness removes the sins of men. After Peter makes his confession, Jesus encourages and commands the disciples to preach that forgiveness. For through the preaching of forgiveness, faith is given. Faith that trusts that God forgives the sinner. So Paul, as he traveled down with Barnabas to the Jerusalem council, shared with the Jews and all the Christians that he met of how the Gentiles came to faith in Christ. And they rejoiced. And Peter stands up and preaches how the Gentiles, through Peter's own message, came to faith and received the same Holy Spirit that the Jews did. It is not obedience to the law that makes one a child of God, but it is faith. It is faith that trusts that Jesus is the Savior of men. Peter is not the Christ, and so he cannot be the rock. Jesus is. Jesus did not come to establish another law or to preach circumcision. Jesus came to be the Christ, to be the Savior of men. So to accomplish that, he could not just simply show up as a 33-year-old and then die the next day. He has to fulfill the law in our place. So he comes into this world as we came into the world. He is conceived in holiness because we are conceived in sin. We are born in sin. He is born the Holy One. We pass through our infant, our adolescent, our teenage and young adult years into adulthood itself, failing to keep those 10 commands, 10 simple commands that God gives perfectly. Yet Jesus passed through the exact same so that he might be the perfect righteousness for us. He wove together a beautiful tapestry of his works and drapes it over you. So there is holiness, there is righteousness, there is perfection in the works of Christ. And that holiness is yours through faith in Christ. So it is not those who keep the law and adhere to the law of Moses who are holy, but it is those who believe in the Son of God who are holy. Works have no value according to salvation, because Christ has already fulfilled the law on our behalf. And then he took the law into his own body with the curse itself and nailed it to the tree. Jesus came to be the Christ, the Savior of men, not a lawgiver. And so he is not interested in reestablishing the temple or circumcision or sacrifices or obedience to the law, but in revealing how he is the fulfillment of the sacrifice. One sacrifice that can actually take away the sins of men. How he is the fulfillment of the temple, destroyed and raised on the third day so that we Gentiles might now know where the presence of God is found, in the flesh of Christ. And he is also the circumcision, the one who is cut off as unholy and unclean, cut off from the presence of God and discarded in an empty tomb, so that we might never be separated from God. Christ is the Savior because he is the fulfillment of the law and the promises. So if you let yourself be placed underneath the law, then Christ is of no help to you. If you want to be judged by how good of a person you are, then you have separated yourself from Christ. You are building upon sand instead of a rock. And when temptation comes, then it will be up to your resolve and courage to withstand it. And when hardships and pain and suffering come, it'll be up to you to fix it. And when the devil attacks, it'll be up to you to overcome him. And when your own fallen flesh pulls you away from those commands of God, it'll be up to you to get yourself back on the right path if you want to be judged according to the law. And when death comes, it'll be up to you to stop it. You are not the Christ. You are not the rock. Neither is Peter. Jesus is. He is the rock upon which Jacob laid his head as he dreamed of that ladder to heaven. For he has his heart filled with the promises of God. He is the rock upon which Moses sat as he lifted up his arms as Joshua won victory over Amalek. Jesus is the rock that led Israel, or that followed Israel in the wilderness, providing life and sustenance for them. You did not follow or sustain Israel in their journey to the promised land, and neither did Peter. Jesus is the rock upon which the church is built. But those who persist in their sins, Those who want to see this forgiveness of Christ as nothing more than a license for me to now live and do however I want to live and do will find themselves separated from this rock. God does not forgive us so that we might continue in sinfulness. God forgives so that we might be his holy creation. So works do matter. How you live does matter. How often do the scriptures encourage you to be holy and blameless and to abound in every good work? Works matter. And those who think that they don't, Jesus issues them a warning and says, do not forgive them. It's not that God doesn't want to forgive those who persist in sin, but he is unable to because of the hardness of their heart. There is a warning that Jesus gives to Peter and to all the apostles. The binding key is real. Excommunication is a thing. If we harden our hearts by persisting in sin and refusing to repent of the error of our ways, we will not be forgiven. And so there is a place for works, but do not insert them into the way of salvation. Do not make your works your rock. Rather, let Christ be the rock upon which all else is built. Your works will fail you, but Christ will not. For in Christ, whether you are good or bad, whether you are shameful and disgraced or holy and upright, in Christ all have the same righteousness and holiness. All are counted as one through faith in the gift that Christ gives. No man can conquer hell. No man can withstand temptation. No man can tear the gates off of hell, but Christ has. And so when temptation comes, no longer is it up to you to endure. Back to Christ. When the devil attacks, flee to Christ. When your own flesh pulls you away from the things God desires you to do, back to Christ in prayer and in word. And when suffering, pain, and even death come, to Christ. You rest on him who lived and died for you so that you might live and die in him. It may seem strange that the two great apostles, Peter and Paul, have to share a day when Bartholomew gets his own. It's probably a little worldly thinking on our part that the more recognizable a name is, the more attention and honor they should receive. Tradition does have it, however, that today is the day on which both of these apostles were executed under the persecution of Nero. Simon Peter being crucified upside down because he considered himself unworthy to die in the same way as his Lord. And Paul being beheaded, given a merciful death because he was a Roman citizen. Both confess Christ in life and by laying down their life for him. Theologically speaking, I think there is more, though. These two great apostles preached one Christ, one baptism, one faith, one forgiveness, and built the church, whether Jew or Gentile, upon the one rock, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of the living God. Peter preached to the Jews, Paul preached to the Gentiles. But their message, like this feast day, is united on Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.